Ken Crockett tells the moment in a story where he has an interaction with a coach. And he says something along this line. It's always hard to win a game on the road. If you watch the Raptors game a couple of games ago, the Raptors came, and I believe the final score was like 121-89. They destroyed the 76ers. Something happened in that game, and I'll give you the secret as to why they won. Not only did they play well, but there was something electric going on in Toronto. The crowd was over the top. They were excited. The team picked up huge encouragement by the energy that the crowd was giving off. Sports commentators call that the home field advantage. Now, if you noticed, a couple nights ago, things were not so good. Not only did we not play well, but there was no opportunity for Toronto to take Philadelphia's crowd out of the game. Oddsmakers say that there's a 7-point spread when you go on the road. And it's usually not in your favor, but in the favor of the home team. Tonight, most Mother's Day dinners are going to be done by 7 o'clock because the Raptors are playing tonight. And I can guarantee you that home field advantage is going to be huge if they have their act together, because the hometown crowd has the opportunity to take Philadelphia out of the game before it even starts. I tell you that little story because we have the opportunity now this morning as the church to encourage one another. I'm going to do something I don't do very often. I want to look at a character in the Bible. And I want to look at his story for a moment and then what lessons we can learn from him. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned, brought the money, and laid it at the disciples' feet. Here's a few things I think that are helpful for you to know this morning. Barnabas' name originally was Joseph. He, like Paul, was a Jew of the diaspora, which means that he lived outside of Israel. Barnabas comes from the island of Cyprus. He was a Levite. Levites were from the tribe of Levi. They were often tied into what was the tabernacle and would be the temple. Often the Levites were considered to become the leaders within the church. They led the music. They were teachers. They were judges. They were accountants. In reality, they oversaw all the religious affairs. A little later on, they would become the readers in Scripture. Barnabas appears to have become a Christian from being a devout Jew. Some believe, we don't know exactly when, that he may have experienced the resurrection, or that he had been there when Peter gave that great speech and 3,000 came to faith. We're not sure of the exact moment of the turning point in his story, but we learn that he ended up becoming a devout follower of Jesus. He was a leader, and he was a teacher in the church. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Barnabas' ministry does something very exciting. What you're going to hear, and I hope we can apply to our lives, is that Barnabas not only becomes a person who leads people to faith, he becomes a chief encourager in bringing up and rising up the next generation of leaders and pastors within the church. He worked alongside of Paul. They together worked through the Jewish-Gentile issues as many Gentiles were coming to the faith. But Paul and Barnabas ended up having a huge disagreement. Barnabas wanted to take one day John Mark along on a mission trip. And Paul said, absolutely not. John Mark had abandoned them once before, and Paul was all ready to write him off. But Barnabas walks with John Mark. He invites him into the story. In fact, a little later on, because of the discipleship and the encouragement of Barnabas, Paul actually says, John Mark was useful to me in our ministry. He's known, that's Barnabas, as the son of encouragement. Picture how that takes place so predominantly in the story of Paul. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and had spoken to him, and how in Damascus they preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. What can we learn from the story of Barnabas? I believe there are a number of things. Here's the first one. We encourage each other through stewardship. Can you picture that moment where Barnabas takes the prophets from his land, and it said that he laid the prophets, and we're there to understand it was all of the prophets, at the feet of the apostles. Can you imagine the encouragement to Paul and the others that they didn't need to go tent-making ministry. They didn't need to go get a second job. They were going to be able to engage their life in the building of what we now know as the church. Can you picture the encouragement to the church? They wouldn't have to fund the pastor's salary because somebody's already paid for it all. Can you picture the encouragement this morning as we take an offering this morning for the Back to God Hour Ministries, but also for the work of the church, that does to the ministries that we support, how that encourages people to keep on going on. But I believe Barnabas has more in mind here for us than that. He encourages us to be stewards of our gifts and our talents and our time and our ability. And we encourage the church, and we bring glory to God when we lay our lives, that is our time, in our gifts, in our efforts at the feet of Jesus. Picture for a moment the encouragement is to the church. When this week some of you go, and I know you will go to make a visit to some of our shut-ins in the hospital. Picture the encouragement where one of you makes a card to give to someone. Picture the encouragement where you evaluate your time and you ask yourself, is my life, is my time, is my energy, is my gifts, first of all, giving glory to God? And if it is, notice that the Church of Jesus Christ is being built up. We become an encouragement to the church and to the glory of God when we lay all that we are at the feet of Jesus. We encourage each other through relationships. Think for a moment of those relationships that you hold dear. Think of those moments in your story. I think of one particularly for us as a family is when we got married. One of my former colleagues drove all the way from somewhere like Iowa, didn't even need to stay for our dinner, simply wanted to come to our wedding. And here was his statement. I said, that's a long way. Are you sure we can't add you to the guest list? And here was his statement. Don't you think that you're worth it? I've never forgotten that. Think of those moments where you know somebody that has dropped everything to come and help you, that has walked deeply into your story. How do we do it? How do we be an encouragement through relationships? If we lay all of ourselves, our time, our efforts, and our gifts at the feet of Jesus to encourage one another for his glory, we will create opportunities to open our homes, to learn people's stories, to walk with people when their stories and their lives are messy. We'll simply make time for other people so that they can be the exact picture of who God wants them to be. Barnabas is that great example for us this morning. If you remember, he is the first to engage Paul, who we know as Saul, who was a persecutor of the faith when nobody else wanted to. And when Saul, this is from Acts 9, came to Jerusalem, he has said to himself, to the disciples, but then they were afraid of him and not believed that he was a disciple. But Barnabas brought him to the apostles. He declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in him, and that he had spoken to him, and how he boldly preached in Damascus. Barnabas becomes that encouragement for us this morning, to enter into people's stories, to be that friend that will always be there, to walk with people in their stories. A little later on in Acts chapter 11, it says, when they needed encouragement, they sent Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and he exhorted, all for that purpose is that they would cleave to the Lord. Barnabas becomes this guy, I believe, for you and I this morning, that is that an investor in the story, that encourages people in that journey of faith. I had this really neat opportunity this past week. I was at my son's rep soccer game, and I got talking to a guy, and he told me where he lived, and one of you live in that neighborhood. And I said, oh, do you know so-and-so? And he goes, of course I do. You were that first introduction to the story of faith in that person's story that I know of. And so I began to talk to the guy, and we have plans to connect again at the next soccer practice. But because of your intentional desire to build relationships, we begin to introduce and encourage people in exploring the story of faith. We encourage each other through development. If it wasn't for Barnabas, Paul would never have gotten the acceptance that he did. He wouldn't have become such a prolific writer of the scriptures. If it wasn't for that investment that God was using through Barnabas to bring him along in the story of faith. Then Barnabas went to Tarshish to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people, the disciples who were called Christians first at Antioch. I think of that work of God in Paul through Barnabas. I think of those moments where 2 weeks ago we saw the investment of our GEMS leaders in the girls, that many who would never have stepped on a stage to lead us in worship. It's because of that investment in that development in their story. Last week we saw it again as our youth led the service, as the youth gave the message, to see God's gift at work through the development of you, the church, encouraging them in their faith. What does that encouragement look like? At a meeting I was at yesterday, one person said, you know what we do at our church to encourage this next generation to rise up and to think about being followers of Jesus? We invite them, and a couple at a time, to regularly come to their deacon or their board of elders meetings. They invite them into the discussion. They want to hear the story of how youth see the church and view the church. And not only to listen, but to invite them to partner with plans and strategies to help the church become all that God wants them to do. Can you picture the development in the faith of these young people as they sit and they hear, and they do life together with those of us who are a little more seasoned in our faith and what we can learn from each other? I think of that way that we can begin to develop each other by simply being with each other, by praying with each other, but as we heard, a smile, a card, as we heard earlier, by simply doing life together. We encourage each other through building re-entry points. Catch this passage. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, and he commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Now picture this. Paul and John Mark, Paul as well, are on their way back to Jerusalem. I wonder what that would have been like for Barnabas. He was going to meet Simon the Zealot. He was going to meet James. He was going to meet Bartholomew. He was going to meet Andrew and Peter and John. And he was going to introduce them to Paul. But when he arrived at the house where they were all to be at, they had all deserted. None of them were there because they didn't believe that Paul had actually changed his ways, that he actually was a follower of Jesus. And yet he didn't have far to look, did he? In the fact that he had Barnabas with him to be that person of entry into the life and the work of the gospel. But Barnabas brought him. And eventually they agreed to meet Paul. And he freely shared all the work that Paul had doing, all that had been going on. Barnabas becomes for us the picture of a faithful friend. Barnabas' friendship wasn't just short term, it was throughout the life of the ministry. Barnabas then went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And again, he brought him out. I tell you this part of the story because I believe in the life of the church, we need to create re-entry points for people to enter back into the story of faith. This week, I was at a denominational meeting, and one person says, you know, one way we create re-entry points is for those of us that are parents, our kids don't always want to talk to us. They may not always share their questions or their doubt or their wrestling with faith. But what if we as the church became that Barnabas to our children on the fringes or outside of the church when we as parents can't be that for them? They're more likely to listen to someone who's not their parent. And what if we were that to somebody else's child? How do we as the church create re-entry points for those who have left the church and are wrestling with the story of faith, but don't think that they could ever come back? Most often, they're simply too embarrassed. How do we create the moments where the church becomes that safe place so that we can be the Barnabas within their story, that they simply feel safe to come in to meet the rest? How do we create that re-entry point with our neighbor? I think Barnabas gives us that great example, is that Barnabas simply went to where people were at. And through his life and through his story, people came to faith. This is a man named Benjamin West. I came across his story this week. Benjamin, as a young child, loved to paint. And one day, when his mom went out, he brought out all the oil painting supplies he could find, and he began to paint. And his desire was to have it all cleaned up before his mom came home, but let's just say it was a mess when she came home. His mom went right over to the painting. And you know what her words were? "What a beautiful painting of your sister." And she gave him a kiss, and she left. It was in that moment that Wes decided that he wanted to become a painter. Every day, you and I are painting a picture of Jesus to the world. And our lives, as the story of many who we enter, are a mess like Wes' house. But what our world needs to hear from the church, what it needs to hear from us, is not what a mess. But what our world needs is the kiss of encouragement. My hope and my prayer is that we look at the story of not only West, of the story of Barnabas, but of the story of Jesus. Is that you and I would be that people, that we would be that place where re-entry is possible, where stewardship of our lives is evident, where the investing in people's story is clear, so that people would see Jesus. And in turn, the glory of God revealed and the church of Jesus Christ encouraged. Amen. We have the opportunity to encourage each other again now in a moment of prayer. I want to just give you two updates. Ken Gittins has moved from Sunnybrook Hospital. He is back in Southlake. And our hope and our prayer is that very shortly he will be able to move to the rehab hospital and begin his rehabilitation. So if you are looking to encourage him, he is now back at Southlake. Again, a name not in our bulletin is, I went to see Howard yesterday. Howard is at McKenzie Health. He's going to probably be there for a little while before he moves to the Veterans Hospital. And he's lonely. If you've got a few moments, if you could visit him, that would be great. There's not much parking, so you know what? Feel free to have a good walk over there. He could use that encouragement. And he even hinted that he would love to play a game of cards. So if you have a deck of cards, you could bless this man's life. You could be an encouragement to him by doing that. And he's also dealing with the fact that Lois is also in the hospital as well. So let's remember both of them as well. Let's pray together. Lord God, we give you thanks this morning that you are the great physician. Lord, we look at the list before us this morning, and man, we see a need for your healing touch. Lord, we give you thanks this morning for Ken and for the improvement that has taken place, that he could move back to Southlake out of Sunnybrook. Lord, we just pray that a bed would open up at the St. John's Rehab, Lord, that he would be able to go there quickly, and that, Lord, he could continue that journey of recovery. And Lord, as we give you thanks this morning, we want to give you thanks for the healing that is taking place in Maria. Lord, we just pray that you would give her the necessary rest, Lord, that she needs as she continues to recover. And yet at the same time, advocate for Ken's health as well. Pray that you would continue that healing within her. We give you thanks, Lord, that my mom's surgery last Sunday could finally happen, Lord. We thank you that the surgery was successful. And Lord, we just pray now that her body would just do what it needs to recover as well. But Lord, we think of Howard and Lois this morning. Lord, we think of how tired Howard is and how long of a journey he even says it's going to be before he's allowed to go home. We thank you for his good spirit. We thank you for the encouragement he is, even as you go to be an encouragement to him. And we just pray that, Lord, you would continue to do that work of healing within his body. Would you be with Lois, Lord? She looks so tired and she looks so weak. Lord, her mental process on the least of the day I visit her wasn't very clear at all. Lord, we just pray that you would surround her with an extra measure of your grace as well this morning. Would you strengthen her and would you refresh her? Or would you continue to be with Martin and Taya as they deal with the ongoing health struggles? And Lord, that as Taya anticipates surgery at some point in the near future, we just pray that you would watch over them and be near to them as well. Lord, thank you that you are good. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for those moments in our lives that we also get to celebrate. Lord, we thank you for the upcoming wedding of Scott and Katie. Lord, we pray that you would bless them not only for that day, but Lord, we pray that you would bless them for what will be a lifetime. We pray that your love and your grace would shine powerfully through their marriage. And that, Lord, that they would be a beacon of love and of hope and encouragement, not only in their marriage, but in their church and in the community in which they will live. Lord, thank you for all of the gifts that are used in this church. We thank you for the encouragement that that is to not only our own faith, but the encouragement it is to those to whom we are investing in. And this morning, as we affirm some names for elder and deacon, Lord, we pray that you would give our leadership the wisdom that only you can give. We pray that you would equip us as the leaders of this church, Lord, for every good work, and that our eyes would be open to the opportunities to which you are calling us to. That we, Lord, we can not only bless and encourage the communities and the ministries to which we support, but Lord, we can touch the various ends of the world for you. Thank you for the gifts. Thank you for the time. Thank you for the talents that are used in so many different ways, so that we as Community Church can do what we do. And Lord, may we be encouraged. May we be refreshed this morning as we hear that hometown cheer along with the saints of heaven who we read about in Hebrews 11 who say, keep on going. You can do it. Well done. So that you may receive all the glory through our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.